back 6 minutes after 10 o'clock. It's our second hour of the show here on 800 CJVQ. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the labor issues at Air Canada with Dana Empey. Empey is the vice president of Blows and Stewart Travel. And then, of course, retiring acting police chief Chris Berry. Chris is going to talk about his life as a police officer and just give him a little props and a little going away. By the way, speaking of props, a member of our staff, 50 years with our company next week. And we'll let everybody know who that is coming up. But first, ladies and gentlemen, very exciting.
The Lorne Brooker Show now presents Meet the Candidate, your opportunity to find out more about the people running for provincial office in your riding on 800 CJBQ.
And this is something that we do when we have provincial, municipal, and federal elections. It's an opportunity for you to meet the candidate. And today it is the NDP's candidate here in Bay of Quinte, Amanda Robertson. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, Lauren. Thanks for having me.
Well, this is your second time on the show, as you were here for our draw. And it's funny, people always say, well, how come this person's on here? How come... It was totally fair, wasn't it?
It was, 100%. I watched it with my own eyes.
With your own eyes, and we try to do that. And so we try to do a fair hour for everybody. So at the end, you'll have 60 seconds to tell everybody why they should vote for you. Our phone lines are now open, 613-969-1545. Toll free, 1-866-969-1546. If you have a question or a comment for Amanda, about the NDP, about what she believes in, why she wants to be a member of provincial parliament. Don't forget, the election is on Thursday, a week today. Make sure you're registered. Get out and vote either early or on election day. We'll provide coverage here on 800 CJBQ. Well, Amanda, you have a plate full of life. Right?
Absolutely. That's a good way to describe it.
There's no question that you have a lot of things going on. You're a perfect example of what we want in this country, a young woman with a wonderful family and tax paying and education and all that kind of stuff. And you now want to run and be a member of provincial parliament. What's going through your mind?
You know, I mean... And I've come up against this question and I hope my fellow candidates are being asked it as well, but around why you think that you are qualified to do this job. And I think I'm going to take it all the way back. So I was born and raised, for people who don't know me, I was born and raised on a dairy farm. And for people who are familiar with the farming industry, that is a monumental piece and a monumental piece of who I am and how I operate. And the values instilled with growing up as a farm kid are something that I carry with me throughout my whole life. I also have had the opportunity to be in 4-H, which again, if you're from a rural community, you would understand 4-H is actually our first foray into government. Clubs are set up in a governance structure. So we learned at 11 years old, I knew what minutes were. I knew how meetings ran. I knew how to make a motion and the responsibility you have to people who rely on you to make good decisions. And then I, as a young adult, I put myself through university. So OSAP, not enough, still isn't enough. But at the time, I was working upwards of 3 jobs and not just in one industry. So I had jobs in retail, in restaurants, on the Toyota job site when they were building the Toyota plant in Woodstock, research labs, farms, research farms. So I have had experiences working with and understanding the lives and the experiences and the struggles and the challenges of people who work in all areas of our community, in all swaths of life. I then went on to do my master's in occupational therapy. And again, for listeners who may not be familiar with the occupational therapy profession, it's a professional healthcare clinical role that is focused solely on enabling people to participate in the things that they want or need or have to do. So you do that by identifying the challenges, but then also identifying strengths and supports and ways you can overcome some of these barriers or mitigate them. And I really have taken that perspective on my involvement in community and my involvement here in Belleville. When we chose to move here 8 years ago to help with the family doctor shortage, the first thing that I did was join the board of directors for the John Howard Society. It's an organization that supports our most vulnerable, and they do it quietly in the background supporting and enabling people who are our most marginalized to be able to participate and live full lives in our community as community members. And then as a school council member, when my kids were big enough to start school, I realized that there's a lot of voices that aren't being represented in our community, and they weren't being reflected at school boards and in the decisions that were being made at some of these big tables. So I decided to run for school board trustee. And in that role, I've had the incredible opportunity to learn even more about governance, even more about policy and budgeting and how to make every dollar count. And then I also had the opportunity as a school board trustee to sit on the Ontario Public School Board Association. And they're our biggest advocate for public education in Ontario. So we lobby and we advocate at Queen's Park to demand better for our kids. But what I would say is the biggest barrier to people in our community being able to have fulfilling and meaningful lives right now is the provincial government and their lack of action on some of these pressing challenges. So that's a big part of why I'm sitting here right now, because my focus as somebody who is solution focused and somebody who wants to help remove barriers so that everybody can participate, not just the wealthy, not just the people who are well connected. It's driving me to enter into this world and to align with the NDP, because they are a party that has been built out of workplace movements, out of looking at the little guy and fighting for the little guy. And I think often they're the people who hurt the most when life gets the hardest for people in the Bay of Quinte. And right now, people are hurting. And I'm hearing it from our partners in education. I'm hearing it from our healthcare workers. I'm hearing it at the doors of people who are accessing any of these services. Our lack of affordable housing. Not everybody has a dream of home ownership. And when we have a government who focuses on people's dream of home ownership, that's often at the expense of having affordable housing for people who just dream of having somewhere to sleep, somewhere safe to have shelter over their head and to be able to buy groceries and medications and not have to worry about.
So these are all problems, as you mentioned, the little guy, the person who's struggling. But the vast majority of people in this province aren't struggling. So there's 200 people who are dealing with homelessness here in the city of Belleville, and we will talk about that in a second. But the majority of your riding will be made up of people like me, like Ted, who have middle-class lives. So how would you focus on that? Because that's really where the core of this province lies.
Yeah, so I think in order for people who are even living middle-class lives to be thriving and successful, we need to be taking care of people who are not in the middle class. We see firsthand with respect to our homelessness issue how that's affecting our small business owners, who would be these middle-class folks who are living lives where they have homes, they have groceries. But the reality is more people are struggling than we probably care to admit here in our community. We have healthcare workers and education workers who are accessing the food bank right now. We just had a study come out province-wide, a million people using food banks. Like, that is outrageous, and it's completely unacceptable. And it's not the same people who were using a food bank 20 years ago, 15 years ago. These are families. These are people who are fully employed, people who are working three jobs, people who work 7 days a week, and they are having to access the food bank. So I would push back on how well the people in the Bay of Quinte are doing, because it's not what we're hearing at the door. The number of middle-class people who have awesome homes, awesome jobs, access to food, who don't have access to primary care, who are not getting preventative care that they need to make sure that 10 years from now, they're not dealing with a missed cancer diagnosis. They're not dealing with uncontrolled diabetes. They're having access to medications that are going to be able to help them, or children in our schools that are also middle-class family children who are not being supported in school and not offered the opportunity for an education that's going to ensure that they're successful when they graduate and enter our workforce.
Well, let's swing around. So you talked about kids. Obviously, you joined the school board because you have children. So tell us a little bit about your family. People want to get to know you. I mean, I think people are familiar with some of the other candidates because they've been around. You're a new name to people. So tell us about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I have three kids. My oldest is 11, Kellen. My middle is my feisty Gwynny. And my youngest is 5. Gwynny is 9. And Malcolm is 5. And he is your typical last born. He kind of runs the household. And they're hilarious because they really do personify all of the birth order stereotypes. So my oldest, he's a firstborn through and through. I'm a middle child, so I cannot relate to the responsibility that that child has. And I will say that he does a lot of the legwork when it comes to making sure that his siblings are in line. And my daughter is your typical middle child. She does competitive dance. She is super excited about any time somebody gives her a stage, but ironically, the most shy person to talk to one-on-one. So I can relate to that as a young person and a middle child, a second middle child. I'm from a family of four girls, and we were all born within 5 years. So it was definitely competition for who got attention when. But again, like growing up on a dairy farm with three sisters and no brothers,
And a dad with a shotgun, I bet.
Well, no, you know what? My dad was one of the most, or is one of the most supportive girl dads that there can be. Because the reality is, he relied on us as much as we relied on him to help out. Because farming is hard work. And when you have four daughters and no sons, there's no other option to apply those gender roles. So I've never been somebody that has felt limited by being a woman or being in a profession that is dominated by men.
Would your dad consider himself an NDP?
I think he probably would. I mean, I'm not going to speak for him. I have no idea how he votes. But he is definitely a very progressive guy, and he is fully supportive of my venture into this world.
You're from north of Stratford, you said, in a rural community. A lot of this riding is rural, of course. Have you been all through it? So there is, as you mentioned, a way of life on a farm. But we're concerned in this province and across this country about the way agriculture is changing. We just had a discussion about it a few weeks ago before the plowing match. How could you take some of the knowledge, some of the work ethic, some of the things that you learned on the farm and kind of take it to Queen's Park?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. The reality is, like, it's who people are. It informs the way they think about things. It informs the values they place on our green spaces, on ensuring that farming can keep up with the way the world is going. My family's farm looks very different now than it did when I worked on it.
But it's pretty technologically advanced.
It is automated. There are buttons and machines that do a lot of the heavy lifting that we would have done even just 15 years ago. So the reality is, we need to make sure that our government is aware of these changes and aware of how they impact the bottom line of these businesses, because they're family businesses. A lot of them are small, medium-sized businesses, but they need to make sure that they're having support to keep up with new rules or new regulations or just new technology, because we are losing a lot of family farms to an inability to pay for the improvements in the technology that they need to keep up. So, in Ontario, we do need to be really careful that we don't end up with just a handful of factory-sized farms at the expense of our family farm, because we do great work. We produce amazing things in our farming communities, and we need to make sure that we're supporting farmers and we're supporting their ability to keep up with the way the world is going.
Phone number to call and with your questions for Amanda Robertson with the NDP, 613-969-1545, toll-free 1-866-969-1546. And you're talking about farmers and food. One of the things, and we're going to get to some of the big issues that you're hearing at the door, I guarantee, is affordability. And you hear this word affordability. Your husband's a doctor, obviously a decent life. Right? There's no question about it. And he works hard for it.
Mm-hmm.
And some people work hard, just as hard, and might not get the same kind of salary that a physician might get. All of it, it doesn't matter. Whether you're a doctor with three kids, or whether you work in fast food with three kids, times are tough and things are expensive. Yesterday on the show, Amanda, we were talking about a can of salmon. For $6.49.
It's outrageous.
It's outrageous. So when people go to, and you see, they say, listen, I just need to buy some decent food and it's so expensive. A lot of this is not necessarily a provincial issue. A lot of it's federal, international, whatever. But your hand will play in the role of dealing with it. So so what's your answer to them when they say, it's just really expensive for me to live my life?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what happens is we have, obviously, there's multiple levels of government. There's multiple factors in this. These are complex problems. We have grocery stores that are taking advantage of the situation that we found ourselves in and making record profits. I think we need to have advocates at all levels of government to rein in some of that advantage taking. But in the short term, a provincial government, we have a responsibility to ensure that we are providing people with reliable health care and affordable housing and good education. And these things, while they might not necessarily impact directly on cost of living, they do help, because when we don't take care of those things on a provincial level, it often falls to municipalities. And then we see our municipal taxes going through the roof. And any additional money coming out of pockets means we don't have that money to spend at the grocery store. So anytime we're putting speed cameras on roads and people are getting dinged for $100, $200, $300, like, that's a grocery bill. And those are decisions that are directly related to a municipality not being able to keep up with costs that they're incurring that have to do with doctor recruitment, which is a healthcare. That is a provincial responsibility. Or homelessness, building our hub. Like, that is healthcare as well, and that's a provincial responsibility. So it's falling on us to pay more out of pocket. This middle class group of people who are driving their cars are now paying these big fines to support initiatives that are meant to address these big picture items that the government has failed to act on.
You can't blame the Ford government for the healthcare crisis, clearly, and you can go down and go 20, 30. I mean, your husband and you must talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. You're trained in healthcare. He's a physician. It's a frustrating thing, and something we'll bring up right after the break. It's 23 minutes after 10 o'clock. 10,000 people are, quote-unquote, orphaned in this area. They don't have a doctor. What would the NDP do if they were in power to help make sure that everybody had a primary care provider? Well, that's a question we have for Amanda Robertson, the NDP candidate for Bay of Quinte. We'll take a break. It's the Lauren Brooker Show on 800 CJBQ.
Savor a symphony of cheese. Indulge in the first ever Ontario Cheese Festival. Ontario cheese producers, growers, and makers take center stage September 28th in Picton. Delight in every cheesy note, paired with Ontario's best wines, ciders, brews, and spirits. And for the encore, take home an exclusive swag bag and tasting glass. The Ontario Cheese Festival, sponsored by Dairy Farmers of Ontario, Agrarian Market, Longo's, and McDougall Insurance. September 28th at the Cape in Picton. For tickets, visit OntarioCheeseFestival.com.
Winter is on its way. Need help keeping your kids warm? The Adopt Child Keep Kids Warm program is here for you. Hi there, I'm Ann Earl Dempsey from the Belleville Police Service.
And I'm Larissa Potter. The Adopt a Child Keep Kids Warm program supports working families and those in need of support. If you have children 12 and under, you can register to receive a new snowsuit and boots.
Registration is open from September 16th to the 27th. Register online at keepkidswarm.ca or in person at the Belleville Police Service at 459 Sydney Street.
Proper ID for parent and children are required. Keep your kids safe and warm with the Adopt a Child Keep Kids Warm program.
For complete registration information, call the Adopt Child hotline at 613-966-0882, extension 3410.
Or visit keepkidswarm.ca.
Thinking about a kitchen upgrade? Buy more, save more with Frigidaire and Arnie's. Save up to an additional $300 on all Frigidaire gallery appliances during the fall renovations event. Until November 13th at Arnie's Appliances, Tyne-Dunega. Everything but the taxes.
What's happening, Quinte? On CJBQ.
Join Hospice Quinte for the Hype for Hospice fundraiser. Enjoy a family-friendly, pet-friendly walk, complete with games, snacks, and prizes for the top fundraisers. September 14th in Centennial Park, Trenton. To register and start raising money, visit hospicequinte.ca.
And that's What's Happening Quinte, brought to you by Weaver Family Funeral Homes.
Weaver Family Funeral Home has been serving your community for three generations. That's three generations of heart, compassion, and celebration. Celebrate life your way. Weaver will walk you through every step. Get to know us at visitweaverfuneralhomes.com.
What do Dolly Parton, Cher, and CJBQ have in common? We were all born in 1946, and we think we've aged pretty darn well. You're listening to Quinte's Heritage Radio Station, 800 CJBQ. Talk is is cheap, but your opinion means everything. Call Lauren now at 613-969-1545. The Lauren Brooker Show on 800-CJBQ.
All right, Samantha and I have been talking food for the, which is typical if you come on my show. That's usually what happens during the break. Amanda Robertson is the NDP candidate for Bay of Quinte. The by-election is a week today. Make sure you're registered to vote and get out and vote. So, Amanda, by the way, our phone lines are open, 613-969-1545, toll-free 1-866-969-1546. Amanda is off to do a debate for Your TV right after this. And, of course, this interview will be on Your TV as we're recording it, so you get to see a lot of Amanda on cable access.
That's right. I'll be coming in hot for that debate.
That's right. Okay. Let's go to the phones. Mark, good morning. You're on CJBQ with Amanda Robertson.
Good morning. My question for your guest is, with the population growth of Ontario, I just looked at the census numbers. We've grown since 2003 by 3.4 million people. And the city of Belleville was told by the provincial government, Mr. Ford as the premier, that we needed to expand westward towards Quinte West. So Mayor Ellis has told us that expansion will cost us $60 to $120 million for an upgrade to sewage and water. And Mr. Ford was just in the county area contributing $19 million to a water plant that's going to be $190 million. So I don't understand how the provincial government keeps telling people to expand. Now, the feds have allowed everybody to come to Canada. That population growth of 28%, as the census number says that I'm looking at right now, is pretty wild. So how do we as a community, because our property taxes are going up, you've already tackled that one, and I don't understand how a small community like Belleville can face 60 to 120 million bucks, how the county can face $190 million to have clean water. I'll let you answer and I'll hang up now. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, so this is not unique to us. It's not unique to the Bay of Quinte. But what I think it's demonstrating is we have a government that's not willing to be a reliable partner to our municipalities. They're not willing to take on some of that burden to cover costs for this. A lot of these projects are cost prohibitive to people who are living in communities of our size. And I think the reality is until we have a provincial government that's willing to re-upload some of these costs that have been downloaded over the last 20 years to municipalities, we're going to continue to struggle. I think the announcement in Wellington is a good example of not addressing the root cause and not taking responsibility for the province's role in ensuring that we have safe water and we have clean roads and we have bridges that aren't crumbling. And the expectation that somehow taxpayers from these smaller communities are able to make up that, or ratepayers are able to make up for that, those massive costs and the ones that are continuing to build, because we know that many of our roads, many of our water treatment facilities, many of our bridges, they're crumbling and they're in need of repair. And when we have municipal governments who have to focus and stress and direct their funds towards these big projects that in reality are not possible for them to pay for in the first place, they're taking attention away from the things that they need to be focused on, the community-specific issues, the ways that we make our community attractive and livable for the people who live and work here. So I think this by-election, we have an opportunity to send a message to Doug Ford and his friends at Queen's Park that we're not happy with what's going on and that this isn't sustainable and that we need a partner who's willing to come to the table and fund it, because also partial funding and the passing of the buck to the federal government and, oh, we'll give you this if the federal government jumps in and also contributes, that's unacceptable for a provincial government. We are hurting in our community and we demand better. So I think the reality is an NDP government, we would re-upload some of these costs back from the municipalities and take responsibility and fund these projects that can't be funded by the people who are living here in the Bay of Quinte.
Want to get to a recent poll came out yesterday, shows that the Liberal and Conservative members candidates are essentially neck and neck, shows you at 18%. Is there something that you can do to get these numbers up? Do you believe these polls? I mean, there's 400 and some odd people in a much larger area.
Yeah, so I mean, 400 people of 150,000 people who live in this community, liberals love their polls. They do love their polls. And the reality is the last two by-elections, we've come second. And both times the polls have showed that the liberals were ahead of us. So, no, I don't believe these polls. Talking to people at their doors, this is not what we're hearing. We're hearing people are ready for change. We're also hearing that people are ready to send a message by sending a representative that can sit with the official opposition. The NDP is the official opposition at Queen's Park right now. We have a leader elected to the House who is already responsible for holding Doug Ford's feet to the fire with respect to some of the scandal and corrupt behavior that's been going on there. She's integral in the reason that the Greenbelt, when opened, was then slammed closed again, and the reason that the RCMP is currently investigating Doug Ford and the actions that took place resulting from that scandal or as part of that scandal. The reality is we do have an opportunity to send somebody with the next biggest team. We have a team of MPPs on the ground who are fighting the good fight, who are holding this government to account. And with the Liberals right now, they don't have official party status. They don't have a leader elected to the legislature. We would be sending a representative who essentially would get to sit there and be a pretty face, but we can send somebody who can actually get to work, actually speak across the aisle, actually bring our problems, our concerns, but also our solutions and our strengths to Queen's Park to really fight for making life better for people here in the Bay of Quinte.
One of the things that would make life better is if 10,000 people had access to primary care health provider. Doesn't necessarily have to be a doctor, could be a nurse practitioner, whatever the case might be. This is a huge problem and a problem I'm sure you're hearing at the door every day. What would you do and the NDP to try to ensure that people here have a doc?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And yes, it would be the number one thing we hear. We have yet to knock on a door where somebody is able to say, I have no concerns about the family doctor shortage and I know no one who's impacted. Like, it literally every single person in this community knows somebody who doesn't have a family doctor. But the reality is, we have to stop the bleed. So I know this government has made announcements about increasing medical school spaces and increasing family doctor-specific spaces. But what I can say is my husband is part of the residency program here. Over the last 3 years, we have had one resident stay in our community, and I don't believe that person actually even opened a practice. So the fact of the matter is we can graduate more family doctors into our community, more and more and more, but if we have not created a climate that is conducive to them opening a family practice, we're not taking any of those orphan patients off the list. A lot of these new docs are locuming, so it means they're covering for doctors when they're away or retiring, or not retiring, but when they're away or on vacation or what have you, or they're doing hospital work or they're doing eMERGE work, which is also super helpful, but it's not helping with the primary care crisis. So I think in order to address that issue on the family doctor level, we need to start listening to what they're asking for. Family doctors have been very clear with this government about what they want and what they need. They need support with administrative burden. They need to be able to pay their staff and to be able to make increases with the rising cost of living. We need to be investing in family health team models. So this government has stopped investing in the team-based care, and we know from an evidence perspective that that is the best way to get the most people access. We need to be investing in pharmacists that work in these team-based models, not pharmacies that are profiting off of some of the loopholes that exist in our funding model for healthcare. So I think the important first step is just meeting doctors where they're at and addressing some of their most pressing concerns, because right now it is a hostile place to be working in healthcare, and nobody wants to stick around. Nobody wants to do that. We've lost family doctors to other jurisdictions, but we've also lost family doctors from the profession as a whole. There's a local family doctor who actually quit family medicine and started a landscaping company because he felt so burnt out by this environment, and this is all within the last 6 years. So while we can say this crisis has been looming for the last 20 years, which it has, these last 6 years have been something like they have not experienced before. And I don't think there's an easy solution, but the first solution would be to listen to what the people who are working in the area are telling you need to do.
Let's go to the phones. John in Quinte West, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Doing great.
Okay. I kind of agree with the candidate there about the medical situation. It is kind of chaotic, and I hope that somebody who's in government can fix this or try to fix it anyways. But I'm kind of baffled. I think I heard her say that she's not in favor of the speed cameras due to the fact that people might not be able to afford the fines. Did she actually say that?
No, I don't think so. And, of course, speed cameras are a municipal issue. I think
that could actually be. They had them years ago on the highway, and I was in favor of them 100%. But
okay.
If she mentioned that, she doesn't think there should have speed cameras because people may not be able to pay the fines. Maybe those people should not be speeding.
Well, clearly, and it's a municipal issue, but thank you for your call, John. I'll let you reiterate what you were trying to get at.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm all for road safety. I'm all for people following the rules of the road. I think where the speed camera comes into play is the fact that municipalities are having to use tools like speed cameras to fund some of these projects, to fund the hub in Belleville, to fund our doctor recruitment initiatives. I think that it is an unfair position to put municipalities in, to be picking and choosing and to be having to resort to things like speed cameras to make up costs. So while I do believe people need to be driving safely, and I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with speed cameras, I think the reality is we shouldn't be having to resort to using them to cover costs.
Just on the other side, people from the city will tell you that this is not about making money. It's about slowing people down.
Mm-hmm.
However, we've heard that they've made more money in the first few weeks than they thought they would make in quite a long time off these tickets.
And
again,
municipal
issue.
Yes, and they will say that they're supposed to be a net zero. This is for safety. But we know that they've also earmarked these dollars for these initiatives that are not being covered by the province.
You talk about these initiatives. Obviously, the doctor recruitment program, healthcare is not a municipal issue. It is a provincial issue, but this city is paying out a fairly large amount of money and doing a very good job at attracting people to this community. Is your husband part of the doctor recruitment program?
Yeah, so we actually came here as part of the program, not because of the program, but as part of it. And what I will say is that doctors want to live and work in places that are full of need, yes, but also that they can give back and that can give back to them. So we chose Belleville out of a whole plethora of places. We chose Belleville because it is a great community. It is the perfect place to raise kids. We have access to amazing natural resources like sandbanks just across the bridge. But there also is a lot of need here, and we stayed because of that need. We felt like we as a family unit could make a difference. But it really shouldn't be left to municipalities to fight each other with these incentive programs, because while that was a nice to have for us, it's not the reason that we came and it's not the reason we stayed. And these programs are costing municipalities a lot of money. And I know when Belleville started their program, they were one of the first. But since then, it's like this revolving door where we have people coming, staying for 5 years, and then leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not solving the problem in the way that I think it was intended to.
Some candidates are calling for the provincial government to pay for the medical school bills, which are, I would assume, in the hundreds of thousands, for people who make an obligation to become a primary care provider, a family physician in a rural area with need. What are your thoughts on that?
So, I mean, I think this is just, it's more of the same. I think most family physicians aren't sticking with family medicine because they can make millions of dollars and because they are okay that someone might foot their medical bills or their medical school bills. The reality is we're still paying off medical school debt here. My husband's in his eighth year of practice. But the reality is family doctors it's throwing money at them is not the way to improving the working conditions.
They spend a lot of time with, as you mentioned, administrative work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things that could be really streamlined. Yesterday or on Tuesday, the Green candidate, Lori Borthwick, said that the government should pay for administration. So what are your thoughts on that?
I would agree. The reality is that the amount of time that our family doctors and nurse practitioners, most likely as well, have to spend doing paperwork and following up on the massive amounts of testing and investigations that can be done now, that it didn't exist like this 20 years ago. Medicine is constantly changing. We can do so much more for people, but that every more comes with 5, 10, 15 minutes of additional paperwork and additional following up. And so if there was help with some of that administrative burden to, like you said, streamline some of these processes, that would free up doctors' times to be able to see more patients, have a bigger caseload. Because the reality is, having a patient caseload of 3,000 people is not possible right now for a single family doctor who is paying maybe a single support staff or two, and to be able to provide the comprehensive care that continues to get more complex and continues to be more challenging just from a medicine standpoint.
One of the biggest challenges our area is dealing with is homelessness and addictions, and that is something I'm sure you're hearing at the door as well, housing. We'll get to that after the break. It is about 18 minutes now before the top of the hour. You're listening to Amanda Robertson. She's the NDP candidate for Bay of Quinte. The provincial by-election is a week today. You're listening to The Lauren Brooker Show on 800 CJBQ and watching us on your TV.
All roofs are not created equal. Hi, I'm Terry from Advanced Roofing. We build your roof to last for decades, not 10 to 12 years. That's why Advanced Roofing strives to provide our clients with the newest and most innovative products, along with superior installation practices currently available in today's market. Whether it's steel or shingle, call us for a free quote at 243-1083. Advanced Roofing, Quinte's most trusted name in roofing. That's 243-1083.
Hi, I'm Donovan, installation sales expert at ViewTech Window and Door, and this is my local view. The best part of my job is when the customer sees their new windows for the first time. With brands like Sierra Pacific, you know you're getting quality. But when your Sierra Pacific windows are installed flawlessly and locally designed to match your vision, that's the ViewTech difference. For Sierra Pacific and more, visit ViewTech and enjoy your local view.
ViewTech Window and Door in Belleville at the corner of Church and Station.
When you're working out at Planet Fitness, it's a judgment-free zone, so you can really step up your workout. That's why we've got treadmills. And our team members are here to help, so you can be carefree with the freeway. There are also balance balls, bikes, cables, kettlebells, and TRX equipment. But, like, no pressure.
Get started at Planet Fitness by September 13th for $1 down and then only $15 a month. Hurry, you don't want to miss this $1 down sale that ends September 13th. $49 annual fee applies. See Home Club for details.
Canada's longest-running radio talk show is now on your TV. The Lauren Brooker Show presents the Monday Morning Roundtable, Monday nights at 9 on your TV, exclusively on Cogeco, your local connection. A presentation by Maureen and Kayla from Here Right Canada in Trenton, Campbellford, Madoc, and Sterling, and 800-CJBQ.
Want to vote early in the by-election in Bay of Quinte? Advance polls are now open from September 8th to 13th. Learn more at elections.on.ca.
A Mercedes-Benz is more than a car. It's a lifestyle. And you can live the Mercedes-Benz life with Mercedes-Benz Kingston. Right now, when you switch to Mercedes-Benz, you can enjoy introductory lease rates starting at 2.99% on select models. Looking to electrify your Mercedes-Benz? Get up to an additional 2% in loyalty rate reductions on our complete EQ model lineup with loyalty lease rates from 0.99%. Mercedes-Benz Kingston. Big city luxury, small town heart.
Hi, my name is Brenda Snyder, a volunteer at Information Quinte. Volunteers are the heartbeat of our community. All the important services, programs, and fantastic events rely on the support of everyday people like you and me. Listen to CJBQ Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 11:20 to hear about some great volunteer opportunities in your community. We encourage you to get involved, make a difference, and have fun while you're at it. Volunteer in Information Quinte is proudly supported by Quinte's Hometown Radio.
800-CJBQ. To say, call Lauren now at 613-969-1545 or 1-866-969-1546. The Lauren Brooker Show on 800-CJBQ.
right, it's 10:46. 800 CJBQ is the radio station. Amanda Robertson, who is she? Well, she is the NDP candidate for the upcoming Bay of Quinte by-election on the 19th, which is a week today. And it's been an incredible... I always say this, if you can and have any civic-mindedness to yourself, run for something. Because it must be an experience that changes your life. Now, this is... Ted's like, run away from something. Yeah, we're going to run away from this show as soon as we can. But it's an experience because you get to really see where you live and hear what people have to say. They're not afraid to tell you what they think, are they?
No, not at all. Not at all.
And by the way, don't be rude to these individuals. It doesn't matter who you support. They're giving up their time to try to make things better. I guarantee that Amanda and Lori and Tyler and Sean are not evil human beings. They're trying to make the Bay of Quinte region better. So that's all they're trying to do. You might disagree with their politics, but don't be rude when they come to the door. Let me ask you about homelessness, addiction, and housing. They say it's all connected. But we have a homelessness and addictions problem in this community. And, you know, of course, you'll hear provincial politicians say, well, it's across the province. It's not just in Belleville. And federal politicians say it's across the country and around the world, which is true. But I live here, and so do you. Mm-hmm. So what would you do, and what does your party want to do to help with this situation that we're dealing with?
Yeah, so I think acknowledging it and the critical nature of it in our community is an important first step. And I think an NDP government, we want to be able to come to the table for our municipal partners. We want to create an environment where we don't have mayors having to beg for funds and beg for help to solve some of these problems. Because like you've alluded to, homelessness and addictions are complex social problems, and it really does weave into all aspects, into healthcare, into housing, into cost of living. So what I can say is that when we first moved here 8 years ago and I joined the John Howard, we were serving our homeless population. We were also serving people who were at risk of homelessness. And there's a lot more of people like that that live in our community that fly under the radar that we don't acknowledge on a daily basis. And I think with COVID and then the cost of living crisis, what we're seeing is a fractured and very precarious housing situation that has really come to head. So the number of young people who were couch surfing, who technically were not counted as a homeless individual, are now ending up on the street because the buddy that they were rooming with couldn't afford rent anymore. So it wasn't just that person losing their home. It was maybe two or three people losing their home. So I think the reality here in Belleville is that we don't have enough affordable housing. And because of that, people are ending up on the street. And when people end up on the street, that is a tough life. So they are at more risk of addictions. They are at more risk of some of these other negative social determinants of health and indicators that we know are challenging for this population. So I think an NDP government would be laser focused on the individuals who are living in here, our most marginalized people, but also the middle class folk that are being affected by this crisis as well, because we are all feeling it. We're all feeling the impacts of Bridge Street United Church's drop-in program. And I think we need to be offering dignity and respect to people who are having to access these services while also acknowledging and respecting the people who are being impacted, like our downtown business folk. So NDP, we would come to the table. We would be that reliable partner to say, hey, frontline workers, you know what you need. Those staff working at Bridge Street United, they know what they need. The community agencies that have banded together to move this hub project forward, we know the dollars that we need to make it happen. But these are non-for-profits. These are organizations that rely on bits and pieces of government grants to keep their doors open. They don't carry big pockets of money that they can invest into capital projects and operational costs. So they need a reliable partner that's going to come to the table and fund with stable and consistent funding, not an occasional grant that they throw your way to take care of a specific thing. Like, these are big, major problems, but we need the province to come to the table and fund the solutions that we know. We know what we need. We don't need to refigure out the wheel. We don't need somebody from Toronto saying, this is the best solution. Like, the people working in the area, they know how to help. They just need the support to be able to do it.
You mentioned Toronto. You were mentioning off the air that you lived in right downtown, and the ridings in Toronto downtown are like five blocks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
This riding, much different.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's Belleville, Prince Edward County, or Quinte West, they all have different needs, different wants, some of them obviously the same. How would you treat each part of the riding differently? What do you see as the major differences and requirements from an MPP in each part of our riding?
Yeah, well, I think I would break it down, maybe not necessarily region by region, but the people that are making up these communities. So while we do have our differences, we also share much more similarities. We all have people who are struggling with homelessness. We all have small business owners that are dealing with all sorts of challenges with respect to cost of living. We all have people who are struggling with increasing municipal taxes. So I think the reality is we as politicians and as representatives need to be able to reflect all of those voices and the individual voices, because that's what's kind of being lost. We have politicians who will name drop important people in our community and somehow make that seem like that is the be all and end all to being a good politician. But being a good politician means you're meeting people where they're at, you're getting their stories, you're getting their strengths, and you're bringing their solutions to the table. So I know we have fabulous people in Quinte West who are doing great work. We have people in Quinte West who are struggling, but we all know that the people of Quinte West or the people of the county or the people of Belleville, they all share the same want to be able to participate and live a life that is meaningful and important. So I think it's not so much focusing on how we're all different, but the way the province needs to look at healthcare and housing and cost of living, these are things that blanket our entire riding and in very similar ways.
Well, we should point out, as you mentioned, that the leader of the NDP, Merritt Stiles, is the official opposition leader. The NDP is in opposition. You want to add to that opposition on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So now you have 60 seconds, Amanda, to tell us why the residents of the Bay of Quinte riding should vote for you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, 60 seconds. Well, I think hearing from people at the door, people are ready for change. They're ready for better. They see this by-election as an opportunity to send a message to Doug Ford, but also send a representative that understands our needs, understands our strengths, understands our solutions, and understands the people who live here, and bring those to Queen's Park and fight hard every day for the people who live and work here just to make life better. I would love that opportunity. I feel like I know this community. I love this community. I rely on it as much as it relies on me. And I will work hard every day to bring our solutions to the table so that we can improve life for people here in the Bay of Quinte. And again, we're the official opposition. So if we're talking about what makes the most sense, let's add a voice to that team that is already working hard to hold this government to account. Let's throw our support behind our future Premier Merritt Stiles, because the reality is we are ready for a change and we can start that orange wave here in the Bay of Quinte.
All right. Amanda Robertson, thank you so much. If people want to find out more about you, how do they do so?
So they can drop into our campaign office at 200 North Front in Belleville. You can reach out anytime on our website, amandarobertson@ontariondp.ca. There's also an email associated with that, so feel free to shoot us an email, and we would love to be in touch.
Okay, Amanda, good luck next Thursday.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. And thanks for everybody who participated in our show today. Big thanks to our callers in our first hour, and of course, Amanda, hour two. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the issues of labor and Air Canada. Dana Empey is with Blows and Stewart Travel. She'll explain what's going on and what you can do if you have a ticket. Also, the great career of acting chief of the Belleville Police Service, Chris Berry. Chris will be in after the 10 o'clock news. Thank you, Ted Bradford, for producing our program today. He's up after the 11 o'clock news, which is next. Enjoy your Thursday, and thanks so much for coming.